Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Laura W. from New Jersey, and I'm a recovered compulsive eater, anorexic and exercise bulimic, and your moderator today. Today is Thursday, February 9th, 2023, and this is the 10 a.m. OA Big Book meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book. We're on page 59, starting with step 11, sought through prayer, ending with the end of step 12, principles in all our affairs. And we're going to be commenting only on steps 11 and 12 today. Today's readers are, thank you for your service, the 12 steps, Denise D., the 12 traditions, Karen W., readers of the text, Robin P., Shelley E., Betsy H., and Leslie W. will do our announcements, and our newcomer greeter is Carla C. The reference numbers for yesterday, Wednesday, February 8th, the 10 a.m. meeting is 19,945. That's 19945. And for this morning, Thursday, February 9th, 7 a.m. meeting, the reference number is 19,947. That's 19947. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive eating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Denise D. to please read the 12 steps of OA. Denise, please press star 1 to unmute yourself.
Oh, sorry.
That's okay.
Here are the steps we took, which are suggested in the as a program of recovery. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought the prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive eaters, and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
Thank you so much for your service, Denise. I will now ask Karen W. to please read the 12 traditions of OA.
Good morning. Thank you, Laura. This is Karen W., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Island, New York. Here are the 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endure, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other media, other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for letting me do service on our task.
Thank you, Karen W., for your service. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the direction for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today we will resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are on page 59, step 11, sought through prayer, ending with principles in all our affairs, commenting on steps 11 and 12. I will now ask Robin P. to begin reading and share on those steps. Robin?
Thank you. Hi, I'm Robin P. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Costa Rica. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. In step 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters or alcoholics and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. I am so grateful for step 11, and it just saved me on a daily basis. I felt like I was always trying to medicate myself with food, and now I get to have a mood change with the solutions in the steps. I get to have a mood change without a hangover from meditating and praying. And I literally feel that I get that result of phew and relief without any consequences. And that is the miracle for me of step 11. And I've always heard that I have two ears and one mouth, so I get to listen twice as much as I talk to God. And, prayer and meditation are equally as important. I get on my knees in the morning, and I turn my day over, and I go through steps 1 through 3 on my knees and admit that I am powerless over people, places, things as well. And I ask for knowledge of God's will and the power to carry that out. And that always keeps it so simple for me. When I am told to just pray for knowledge of His will and the power to carry that out, it means that the chatter gets to go away. But what if the yes, but all of the, oh my gosh, my disease was such a yes, but. and now I get to do yes and then carry this message to compulsive overeaters and practice these principles in all my affairs. I get to be an instrument of peace and be blessed to be a blessing with everybody I meet. I'm the walking Big Book around here, and we're in expatville. We're in Ojochal, Costa Rica, and it's a lot of retirees and a lot of people came here to retire and drink. and that's not us. And where we are, there are a lot of I would say at best agnostics and atheists, and that's not us either. And so we just get to walk the talk be the light, and also just accept people for who they are, and also just keep turning my will and my life over to the care of God and see where that takes us and where we're meant to live at our forever home on earth before we go to our real forever home. So I'm really grateful to be abstinent and sober today. Without that, I wouldn't be able to want to listen to God. I was, you know, I used to be so closed off to God and so worshiping food, and food never, ever gave me peace and never, ever gave me solutions. It was the second problem on top of the first problem. And now I get to have solutions. God bless everybody with a very blessed, abstinent day. Thanks so much for letting me share.
Thank you, Robin. Perfect timing. I'm going to open the meeting up for sharing in a moment, but before I do so, please remember that although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. We're sharing on page 59 of the Big Book, Step 11 and Step 12. So if you have shared on Tuesday or Wednesday of this week, please hold off so that other people's voices can be heard.
Okay.
And I'm going to start taking names, your first initial of your last name, and go ahead.
Noelle
Mary B.
from Florida.
Ooh.
Mary B.
I heard Mary B. and somebody from Florida.
Noelle E.
Noelle E.
Wendy B.
Wendy B.
Susan
Evan
M. from
R.
Florida.
Susan from Florida. Who is after Susan?
Evan R.
Kevin R. Let me tell you who I have so far. I have Mary B., Noelle E., Wendy B., Susan, Kevin R. Who was the last person? I'll take one more for now, this lineup.
Roz G.
Roz G. Okay, that's a great lineup. I've got Mary B., Noelle E., Wendy B., Susan from Florida, Kevin R., and Roz G. Mary B., why don't you go press star 1 and share, please.
May I be heard?
Is this Mary B.?
Yes.
Yeah, you can. Go ahead.
Oh, thank you. Hi, my name is Mary B. I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Mesa, Arizona. So grateful to be on the line today. So grateful for all the people doing service today. Really, for me, this is just an update. Some of you may remember or may not remember that I was sharing on the line pretty regularly, but I've been very, very sick. I'm in hospice now. I've got cancer. Things are really, really, really going rough. And I just wanted to reach out to the fellowship. My phone number is on the meeting list. If you could call me and give me an outreach call, I would much appreciate it. And your prayers are so important to me. I have some abstinence time now, which I'm so grateful for, after 34 years of chronic relapse. I really appreciated the lead that Robin gave us today and everyone on the line. Please, 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 please pray for me. I'm going through a very hard, rough time in my life right now. And I knew you were the people that would listen, that would respond to me, because that's how you've been over the past 5 years here, over 5 years. And I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful to God for bringing me to Overeaters Anonymous and learning how to work these beautiful steps that have saved my life. And yes, I try to work step 11 and 12 every day, along with all the other steps, and they are so important to me. Newcomer, it really works. It really does. If it can work for somebody like me, I know it can work for somebody like you. Because I was a mess. I was a complete mess. I was unlovable. I hated myself. I wanted to die. The disease had me. And I've been free for some time now, and it's amazing. It's wonderful. God bless you all. I love you all, and I'll pass with that. Thank you, moderator.
Thank you, Mary B. Thank you so much for your share. My thoughts and prayers are with you for sure. Noelle E., you're up next.
Hi.
Hi, this is Noelle E. in Louisiana. Thank you, everybody, for your service on the line. Thank you, Mary B. I love you very much, and I'm praying for you. I am so grateful for Step 11 and Step 12. It is, you know, it is the grace of God that I get to wash myself in every day, always available to me. And, you know, a vital, vital part of my recovery, of my life, of my survival. And the evidence of practicing these principles in all of our affairs is like, you know, there's evidence everywhere of how when we seek God, which is basically practicing these principles in all of our affairs, seeking God everywhere and in everything, even down to what sweater I put on this morning, you know, it is, it's just the sunlight of the Spirit on your face, no matter where you look. So, yeah, I'm grateful, and, you know, starting my day with my higher power, and having my only intention is to, you know, the desire to please God. Even if I don't please God, the desire to does in fact please God. And yeah, God shows me that I'm good. I don't have to be good. That God made me, so I am good. Thanks for letting me share, and I'll pass.
Thank you for sharing, Noelle E. from Louisiana. Next up, we're going to have Wendy B., followed by Susan. Wendy?
Good morning. This is Wendy B., recovered in Arizona. And where it says, praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And I love that guideline. You know, it really does put me on a whole new basis for my life. You know, my life's no longer about self-serving accomplishments. It's no longer about striving to attain my goals. It's no longer about competing to be the best. You know, I learned to subject myself to God's plan for my life, you know, how He wants to use me as an instrument to accomplish His purposes. And, you know, He has a plan and a purpose for my existence. You know, He chose the time and place of my birth, and He chose who my family is and the circumstances I was raised in. And I get to just come to terms with my past, you know, through doing this work, you know, so it's no longer controlling me. And, you know, He's setting me free from the bondages of those things. You know, I get to embrace a whole new way of life, you know, of faith and trust in an infinite God, you know, who has everyone's best interest in mind, you know, as He orchestrates all the circumstances, you know, including everyone's free will to choose. And I can't really comprehend, you know, how He does it. You know, it's like my human brain can't fathom His unlimitedness. And I get to just surrender, you know, to the bit part, you know, He assigned me to play, you know, and leave all the outcomes in His hands. And when the way isn't clear to me, you know, which direction He wants me to go, I get to pause and ask for the knowledge of His will, ask for clarity, ask for Him to shine His light on the path in front of me so I can see where He wants my next step to go, you know, and I get to just trust His promise that He will lead and guide me. And I love how in step 12 it says we practice these principles in all our affairs, that I'm practicing, you know, I don't have to be perfect, and it's a learning process, and, you know, that God covers my mistakes, and when I don't live up to my ideals, He covers it in His grace. And I'm so grateful, and thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Wendy B. from Arizona. Next up is Susan, followed by Kevin R. Susan?
Hi, thanks. This is Susan M. is Mary from Florida. Grateful to be here. Thanks for your service. And, I mean, these steps have really changed my life. I mean, the food has been down. It's been a while now. but how am I supposed to live? What am I supposed to do that the food's down? And I used to think of it like Tetris, you know, the blocks start falling and then those little holes, you know, come into the construct. And then I would stuff food in there. You know, whenever something would happen, I'd stuff food in and then I have my solid wall. But now when I take the food out, how am I supposed to live? So I knock all the blocks off and I start from the ground up. So, you know, the prayer and meditation in the morning, that's new for me. This is something that I did, you know, every once in a while, but this is what I started doing with regularity, conscious contact with God. I mean, you know, he wasn't really on my radar, but I started being more aware as I started practicing these principles in all my affairs. Praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. That really transformed my goals, my objectives. I mean, when I used to pray, it was like a wish list from Santa, you know, but now I start trying to align my will with my higher power's will. Just all these things, you know, everything really just transformed the way that I live. And instead of needing food to make me feel better or fix things or whatever, I slowly but surely, you know, started growing in alignment with my higher power and a different way of living. And it's totally different. I mean, completely different. And I'm grateful for that. And most importantly, tried to carry this message to alcoholics. You know, that's the whole point in like me getting recovered, you know, the purpose behind me, I guess, living in the abstinence and living this new way of life is so that I can carry the message and help other people. How can I serve? How can I be of service, you know, with my family, with my friends, with the people that I meet at meetings and everything. I mean, it's just, this is at the crux of the issue. So yeah, I'm really grateful to be here. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks so much, Susan M. from Florida. Great to hear you today. Next up is Kevin R., followed by Raj G. Kevin?
Hi, it's actually Evan.
Evan, sorry.
Hi, my name is Evan, compulsive reader. Haven't shared in a while, long-time listener. I just think step 11 is where it's at for me, at least. But I know that if I'm not seeking a conscious contact with God, my mind is going the opposite direction. I don't know, that's just me. That just kind of seems what my human instinct is. So it is an effort to do it every day. But the more that I've done it and the more that I've seen it work and the more that I've reaped the rewards, becomes a much more natural process. You know, when I work with my sponsees on this step, it's tough at first because you have to change the way your mind works. And for me, prayer and meditation isn't something that just starts in the morning. It's something you continue all day. And I mean, I'm almost coming up on 3 years abstinence, but sometimes I end up thinking about food a little too much, what to eat, right kind of calories, right foods. And I use that as a chance to pray and meditate. And I usually just do what it says in the big book, page 86, just pause. And then I ask for an intuitive thought, or I basically say, God, what's your will for my food? And it used to seem silly to me. It's such a small thing, but for me, it takes away a lot of stress and thinking. Because if you're like me, I think about food a lot, or I did. And God just helps guide me in that sense. And that's my spiritual awakening. I didn't really have a powerful moment where God descended from the heavens, but it was just a gradual process. And I really only notice it if I look back how far I've gone. And so that's it. Thank you.
Thanks, Evan. Evan, where are you calling from? Evan, what state were you calling from?
Sorry, Southern California.
California. Thanks, Evan R. from California. Next up, we have Roz G., and then I'm going to open it up for some more shares. Roz?
Good morning. Thank you very much for calling on me. And my name's Roz, and I'm a recovered compulsive eater in Palmdale, California, Los Angeles County. And I'm very, very moved and touched by all the shares this morning, especially the first one. And how do I improve my conscious contact with God? Like an athlete improves their shot, like a basketball player has to improve their shot, their three-point shot. They have to, you know, maybe do 100 of them a day or more. I don't even know. There's probably way more than that, but I'm not a player, so I don't know. But I know that they have to practice, and that athletes have to practice in order to get good, and that students have to practice math problems or practice writing in order to get good at it. And so for me to improve my conscious contact with God, I have to practice those actions of, like I've heard in the earlier shares, you know, waking up an hour before it's time for me to do my day, and you know, having an agenda of action that I take, like, you know, getting on my knees and asking God, what do you want for me today? Help me to be an open vessel to your service. And then I'm just going to, you know, just pick out some of the principles of this 12-step program. The first one is honesty. Well, I got to practice the principle of honesty. I've got to tell you how I'm feeling. And February is not my favorite month. I hate the month of February. I don't like Valentine's Day. I feel left out on Valentine's Day. Hope. I can give other people hope. Thank God I have sponsees to work in the morning with and tell them what this program has done for me. Surrender. You know, I had to surrender my alcoholic foods. Courage. It just took courage for me to tell you how I feel about Valentine's Day. Integrity. I need to show up on time for work and for meetings, and to be honest in my when I'm earning my day's pay. And humility. I have to, you know, I always wanted to be the center of attention, and that my ego needed to be really deflated at depth. I need to be responsible for the service positions that I've been granted through in this program. I need to practice discipline by weighing and measuring my food on a daily basis. I need to be aware of what I'm eating and when I'm out by looking at menu items or how I'm treating others. And of course, I need to be of service. Without service, I'm a goner. So that means service and self, you know, like Bill said, how do I build my spiritual awareness with service and self-sacrifice? Thank you. I pass.
Thanks, Raj G. from California. Before we open it up for a new set of names, just a gentle reminder that although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So if you shared on Tuesday or Wednesday, please hold off. We are sharing today on page 59 of the Big Book, Step 11 and Step 12, those two steps. So who would like to share? Please give me your first name, first initial of your last name, please.
Roger V. from California.
Roger V.
Bruce
Liz
E.
A.
from
California.
Bruce E.
Liz A. California.
Liz A. from California. Could take a few more. I've got Roger V., Bruce E.,
Leslie.
And Liz A.
Leslie W.
Leslie W. Couple more.
Annabelle Z. from Washington.
Annabelle Z. from Washington. Gotcha. One more.
Shanna C., Tennessee.
Shanna C. from Tennessee. Great. Great lineup. Okay, we've got Roger V., Bruce E., Liz A., Leslie W., Annabelle Z., and Shanna C. Roger V. from California, please share with us.
Good morning, OA family. Happy Thursday. Oh, boy, steps 11 and 12. I heard an AA speaker once. He was in his 80s and had 45 years of sobriety, and he said he had insomnia, and he said when that happens, he just turns on the light, starts his day with prayer, and it'll be okay. God will make it right. You know, my message is one of hope today that I currently, as of this moment, reside in DTLA, downtown LA, in a warehouse. As of tonight, I will be living in Koreatown. God's delay is not his denial. I've lived in a warehouse in downtown for 5 years. But God is good. And, you know, I wanted a place to live that I didn't have to smell marijuana all the time. And a realtor laughed at me and said, but it's legal in Los Angeles. You can't control that. And by God's grace and mercy, I'm moving into a guest house in Koreatown for a woman who's moving to Korea. And, you know, God's grace and mercy did it all. And, I went out last night to hear a speaker, and I hadn't had dinner, but my abstinence comes first. I stopped at Trader Joe's, got some abstinent food, ate it in the parking lot, went in with my friend, and, you know, if I put God first in everything, my license plate cover says at the top, does God seem far away? And at the bottom it says, guess who moved? You know, I have a friend in program who says in the morning he doesn't talk to man before he talks to the man. You know, I started my day at 5 with God. I'll end my day and say, God, thank you for another day of sobriety. Thank you for another day of abstinence. But I get a daily reprieve based on my spiritual condition. And step 12, practice these principles in all our affairs and carry the message to the compulsive overeater who's still suffering. I'm not going to be going to the gym I used to go to because it won't be geographically correct. And there's a guy I see all the time. He was about 350. Now he looks like 400. And I talked to him yesterday, and I said, listen, Jesse, you don't have to live this way anymore. Your bottom's when you decide to stop digging, and you don't need to ride the garbage truck all the way to the dump. And we exchanged numbers, and I'm going to, like, share with him my story and how God placed me in a position of neutrality with the food. If you're struggling today, yes, God and OA are the way out. We're the lucky ones. Most alcoholics, most compulsive overeaters don't find this gift. It's a gift that I treasure. Thank you guys for paying a 12-step call on me. I'm Roger, and with that, I'm out.
Thanks, Roger V. from California. Next up, we have Bruce E., followed by Liz A. Bruce?
Well, good morning, everybody. And thank you, the man on that previous share. I really needed that. This Bruce, I'm recovered in Southwest Florida, North Fort Myers, Florida. And, yeah, I needed that encouragement. I was a little down in the dumps today, kind of doing one of those things where, you know, I'm not being that useful to people. You know, I'm not, you know, I'm just sort of a slippery person, you know. And where's that coming from, right? So that's not coming from my higher power. My higher power is all love and joy and peace, and he gives that to me. And all I need to do is receive it. But I really thank you for that previous share. It's very encouraging to me. And I'm praying for Mary B. I'll try to get your number and give you a call. Let's see. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to the alcoholic into practice these principles in all our affairs. So that does say a lot. I've had the spiritual awakening. I continue to have it. I believe that as long as I'm working this program, I'm pretty much on a spiritual awakening every day. And it's a result of these steps. Yeah, I mean, these steps have brought me into a recovered person. You know, it's amazing in working with somebody and reading a big book. And that's the steps. Carry this message. Well, I try to do that. I really do. I work on that. I try to make anywhere from 3 to 12 or 14 calls a day, usually somewhere around 6 or 7 generally. And that's good. So I really do try to carry the message and practice these principles in all our affairs. Well, I mean, you know, I've gone from being a negative person to being a nice person. I treat people nicely. I went from trying to take from everybody to trying to see what I can give. So, you know, I have come quite a ways, and I'll never be perfect on this thing. You know, I'll always have these little setbacks where I'm feeling in the dumps and that sort of thing. But, you know, you guys rescue me out of that. I really appreciate it. And, yeah, with that, I pass.
Thanks, Bruce E. from Florida. Next up, we have Liz A. from California, followed by Leslie W. Liz?
Hi, this is Liz A. from Los Angeles, California. Thank you, everyone, for your service and all the previous shares. Wow, really powerful. Prayers go out to you, maybe. I got specific instructions on how to work step 11 straight from the big book. You know, it tells me on awakening that I should think about the 24 hours ahead, but before that, to ask God to direct my thinking so that it's divorced from self-pity, dishonesty, and self-seeking motives. Wow, what a way to change the way I think. I wake up and I have a spiritual roadmap that I follow, including reading on awakening, saying my third step, my seventh step, and especially my 11th step prayer, you know, to seek to comfort rather than be comforted, and to understand rather than be understood, and to love rather than be loved. And that really gives me so much peace. And then at night, there's specific instructions again. You know, I get to ask myself questions to review my day in case I miss something. Because, you know, we all get busy and sometimes there's a feeling, I ignore it and I realize maybe I should have done a 10th step on it. And also I get to see what I could have done better. And that thought stays with me in the morning to make sure that the next day I do better. And, you know, I really needed this morning share because I woke up feeling anxious about a procedure I'm having done tomorrow. And the shares, boy, really brought me to reality, you know, thinking about my little plans and my little designs and my little fears. And the world is so much bigger than that. And really, I get to get out of myself and stop thinking about the bondage of this body and its little aches and pains and whatevers. And just to see how I can help others, you know, I call newcomers every day. I work with sponsees. I try to always think about the principles of these steps and everything I do. Am I being honest? You know, honesty being the number one for me. And I guess that's all I have. And I'll pass. Thank you.
Perfect timing. Whoops. Sorry about that. Thanks, Liz A. from California. Next up, we have Leslie W., followed by Annabelle Z. Leslie?
Hey, thank you so much for your service. My name is Leslie W. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Tennessee. You know, step 11 is something that thought through prayer and meditation to improve my conscious contact with God has been kind of confusing for me in this program. A lot of times I'm not really sure what that means. And I think probably one of the most popular questions on our special edition panels are, what do you do for your step 11? Because everybody wants to know, you know, like, what does it mean to improve the conscious contact with your higher power? And a lot of times I just, you know, want to be told what to do. I want to be spoon-fed that information. I want somebody to say, well, Leslie, A plus B equals C, and that's how you improve your conscious contact with God. I want the formula. I want details. And, you know, if you spend 30 minutes of quiet time in the morning with God, then you'll be spiritually fit for that day. I think a big part of this step is just being flexible for me. Like, it's just being flexible enough to being open-minded enough to realize that that's going to change. The things that improve my conscious contact with God in the beginning are not necessarily going to be the same things that improve my conscious contact with God today. There are times when there are also times in my life where I'm in so much pain that I cannot pray. I cannot pray the words out loud. Sometimes I have to write them, write my prayers down. And sometimes I just have to sit and ask for God's presence to envelop me. And sometimes that just has to be good enough. It's not ever going to be perfect for me, but I do know that I may not always be where I want to be, in that regard, but I thank God that I'm not where I used to be. And with that, I'll pass.
Thanks, Leslie W. from Tennessee. Next up is Annabelle Z. from Washington, followed by Shanna C. Annabelle?
Good morning. My name is Annabelle Z. I'm from the state of Washington, recovered and compulsive overeater. Thank you very much for all your service, and thank you for the courage, Mary B., to share, you know, our difficulties and to share your walk and struggle. I'm praying for anyone on the line who has a struggle today. You know, I find that prayer and meditation today is so different than what it was when I first came in. You know, when I first came in, it was trying to get the conscious contact, or at least improve it. You know, it says sought through prayer and meditation to improve the conscious contact. And I still do. I still have to improve it, and it does improve. You know, just when I think, like, I got a line with God, it's amazing. I'll do some meditation and some two-way prayer writing or whatever, and I get a new sense of his presence and love and guidance again. But what's different today too, though, is that I'm not like seeking where is God, and it's not like if someone said something about, like, you know, who moved in the license plate. I love that. Like, I am the one who distances myself from God, and I don't do it on purpose, but I find myself, if I'm not consciously improving, like consciously doing it, then no matter what, there's going to be a separation, because the world gets in there and people get in there, and you know, between me and God, and it blocks me off from the sunlight of the Spirit. Just yesterday or the day before, I was working with the sponsee, and we're just starting on her 10th step. She just finished her 9th step, and you know, we were talking. She's been in program a while, so she's done this before, but not quite so thoroughly in this way. And I was just—it just hit me so hard about how the practicing or the carrying this message to other compulsive overeaters is the bright spot of our lives. And it says that in the big book, and how I had more joy sharing, you know, listening to her and hearing how her 9th step went with this one particular difficult one. I had more joy come through that, and I knew it was from my higher power telling me this is the way to really have conscious contact with me. This is what I want you to do, is to be of service. And I've always thought, you know, the point of the program is to stay abstinent, you know, and then we carry the message to continue to stay abstinent. But it also, someone said already on this line this morning, I was moved by that the point is to fit ourselves to be maximum service to God. And so I it's just sort of a new place I'm at, and I'm just really grateful to be here and to share that. Thank you, and I'll pass.
Thanks, Annabelle Z. from Washington. Next up is Shanna C. from Tennessee.
Good morning. This is Shanna C., grateful to recover compulsive overeater from Tennessee. Thanks for your service and to everyone who shared. You know, I really complicate things. And I'm so grateful that God doesn't make too hard terms for those who seek him, and the power comes in the seeking. And I'm so grateful that taking the action of these steps is me actually seeking the God of my own understanding. And the cool thing is, you know, the big book talks about the agnostics. You know, am I even willing to believe that there is one? Well, there are days where I have no doubt in my mind that there is a power greater than me that's absolutely doing for me what I cannot do for myself. And consciously every day, you know, in my head, I know that. But my actions speak differently sometimes, you know, when I drift into fear. And that's part of the human condition, right? So then there are days where it's like, okay, I'm willing to believe. I'm willing to take your word that God still has me, that God's still there. And that's all I need to make the beginning, especially if you're new. You know, affecting that first conscious contact with God is, am I willing to believe that there is a power greater than me? And I don't even have to understand it or fully believe, just am I willing to believe? And you know what that looks like for me sometimes is, I'll take your word for it. What do I need to do? So thankfully that this program is outlined just in that way for someone like me who drifts in and out of conscious contact with God. and that I can resume that prayer and meditation at any time. And I tell you what, this stuff really works. I mean, I'm gratefully living in 10, 11, and 12, steps 10, 11, and 12. And just the other day, I was going throughout cleaning the house, you know, and I was kind of talking to God, and I was like, okay, God, you know, my time is yours, you know, because, you know, on awakening, it says we consider our plans for the day. Just because I make some plans doesn't mean they're going to go my way. I consider them. Sometimes my day gets shuffled around and ends up better than I could have planned myself. And that's just how God is. But anyway, I got the opportunity, you know, when I least expected it, to be helpful to another compulsive overeater, and one I had never met, right as I was praying that prayer, God, how can I help somebody? How can I be of service today? Within minutes, I got a call from someone asking me to help them. I mean, it was just out of the blue, but not really. Anyway, that's the kind of stuff that keeps me coming back. This spiritual life is not a theory, and thank God we get to live it. That's all I have.
Thanks, Shanna C. from Tennessee. Thanks for your share. We actually have time for one more share. Who would like to share for 3 minutes?
This is Donna.
Donna, you want to take the last 3 minutes?
Jenny and Pete.
We got Donna. Thanks, everyone. Donna, go ahead and share.
This is Donna L. With the step 11. I've always had a relationship with God, but this 12-step program has brought me closer, and praying, and I do a prayer and recovery journal in the morning. It helps me because I pray, as I pray, I write it in the journal, and it just makes the thoughts come so easily, and talking to God's so fluent. And the other good thing about it is that I can look back and see where God has answered, where I had one thing in mind, but God had something else. And his answer was always better, of course. So, yeah, I used to pray for my needs. Now I pray to know God's will and how to handle situations. His will may be different than mine. And sometimes I think, oh, no, I really don't want to do that. But I will, because it's God's will. And it always turns out so good, so much better than whatever I would have imagined or done in my own power, because I ask for God's power to carry it out. So thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Donna. Donna, where are you calling from?
Florida.
Donna, thank you, Donna, from Florida. And thank you to everyone who has shared today. It is now time to close the meeting. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Shelley E. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Good morning. This is Shelley E., a recovered compulsive overeater in Arlington, Texas. Oh, sorry. Page 164, the Big Book. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you than to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past, give freely of what you find, and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. Thank you for letting me do service, and I pass.